The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. It is page 101 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. After John's messenger left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your ways before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Amen. In May of last year, a field day took place at Taesan Elementary School in Busan. At the peak of the field day, five friends who were in sixth grade lined up to start a race. With the sound of the starting gun, the children began to run, each following his track as fast as they could. As you know well, the running tracks have curved corners, and it is important to run the corners well. By the time the children got near the corner, the first place and the second place runners who were leading the race put some distance between them and the others. But at that moment, Do-hyung, who was the second place runner, fell. That the second place runner fell down meant that the kid who was in the first place was sure to win the race. And also for other kids, they got the chance to finish the race with a better result. However, when the first place runner saw his friend falling down, he stopped running and he started to run backwards towards his friend who fell. And the other friends who saw this all stopped running. The friends pulled up the friend who had fallen, and they supported their fallen friend, and when walked towards the finishing line together, and when they got there, they made their fallen friend pass the finishing line first. In an interview with a reporter, the friend who was running the first place in the race said, at the time, I felt that it would be better to help my friend who had fallen rather than winning the race. And Do-hyung, who had fallen at the race, a bit sheepishly said, I was thankful. Now, what had unfolded at the field day at the Taesan Elementary School in May of last year was aired as a news story. The news ended there. But I wondered whether the story really ended there. For human beings, experience exerts a lasting influence. There are many environmental factors that contribute to the making of me. And among those, the most important factor is the direct experiences that we have. Do-hyung, who fell down while being in second place the race, almost had an experience of failure. In the world of race, he would have experienced disqualification or being the last. But at the place where he fell, he experienced friends who did not just pass him by, but who stopped to come to him and raised him up. Friends who gave up being the first and walked with him, and even let him cross the finishing line first. Watching the shy face of Toyang, who said he was thankful to his friends, I thought this would be a precious experience that would shape who Toyang is. Toyang and his friends will live a life rife with many competitions where they have to run. But when they see someone who falls down on their way, they will recall this experience. They will think about the fact that there is a life in values that cannot be felt in a life lived to run as fast as one could to win the first place. And wouldn't each of them, in the same way he experienced his friends doing it, hold out his hands to that someone walking backwards in the world of competition? So therefore, the story of Toyang, who came to have a completely different experience at the place of his fall, begins from now. John the Baptist cried out in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Many, many people went to the wilderness in pursuit of this voice, and they received baptism of repentance from John the Baptist. This happening of repentance and receiving baptism from John was not a story limited to a few people. It was an experience shared by a majority of Israelites. We have reflected on Luke chapter 3 as to how the people, the tax collectors, and the soldiers who had come to the wilderness asked John about the life that was befitting of repentance. After this, Jesus began his public ministry, and the people who followed John in the wilderness were now gathered around Jesus. After John the Baptist tried to confirm whether Jesus was the one who was to come, by sending his disciple to question Jesus, Jesus asked a question to the crowd which had gathered there. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A question always makes us think and look back. For what did I go on the road to the wilderness despite the heat, willingly enduring sweat? What was the reason that I went on the road to the wilderness with my family, although there were a lot of things I had to do? Facing this question of Jesus, they reflect back on what was in their hearts as they headed for the wilderness. Jesus continues to speak. A reed swaying in the wind? One can understand this question simply as, did you go to the wilderness to see how the reeds sway in the wind? But some people are compelled to reflect back on themselves. A reed that bends towards the east when the wind blows from the west was not too different from the self, who is easily swayed by the words of this or that person. Many people had sought out the wilderness, and clearly there was an aspect to me that inclined to follow this flow of people and ended up in the wilderness. There are people who became thoughtful at Jesus' question, and there are also people who confidently cried out, "No." Jesus asked the question again. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. It is impossible to wear fine clothes in the wilderness where hot winds blow during the day and the cold lasts through the night. There was a reason that has to do with surroundings as to why John the Baptist, who lived in the wilderness, wore clothes made of camel hair. No person had gone to the wilderness in order to find somebody wearing fine clothes. But still, a part of their hearts may have become troubled at Jesus' words. Wasn't it the case that I had traveled with such heartfelt desire to the wilderness, actually, in order to petition for and hope to get from God a better and secure life in the city? They may have been hard-pressed to deny that the blessing they sought so earnestly was not entirely from this, and so they may have felt an ache in the corner of their hearts. When questioned by Jesus, some reflect on their hearts, some look around at other people, and some still answer confidently, no. Jesus asks again, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? The people thought that at last they had arrived at a safe answer. Although we live under the rule of a king, we had the hearts to want to understand God's will towards us. There was an earnest longing to know the meaning of my life lived in the challenging way of the city which made us seek out the wilderness. The crowd answers, yes. And Jesus continues with this answer. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Jesus tells us, you're right, and answers the crowd that the John the Baptist they had come to see was the very person prophesied in the Old Testament as someone who is to prepare the way of the Lord. And Jesus adds one more remark about John the Baptist. This is from the first part of verse 28. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. It's the ultimate compliment. Since everyone is born from a mother, what he is saying is that John the Baptist is the greatest person among all persons in this world. Now, all these people who had come to the wilderness for one reason or another are very satisfied. Since they have been baptized by this great John the Baptist, they even feel a bit proud. Now, the questions of Jesus and the answering of the crowd seem quiet enough at this point, but Jesus takes an additional step into their hearts. Here is what Jesus really wanted to say to them. This is the middle part of verse 28. But the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Jesus' story about the wilderness and the John the Baptist ends up heading for the story about the kingdom of God. Jesus had just said that John the Baptist was the greatest person among all people. In other words, among people born of women, there are small ones and great ones, but the John the Baptist was the greatest. But in the kingdom of God, he is saying, the least of these persons is greater than John the Baptist. To fix value based on bigness and smallness and regard all things according to this view is what the world does naturally. A big church and a small church. A big accomplishment and a small accomplishment. A big task and a small task. A big dream and a small dream. A big house and a big small house. A big car and a small car. Even people's height in terms of big and small. The bigness and smallness is an important standard by which we judge people and their lives. We even learn from childhood that big is good, and to live in pursuit of this is good. But in the kingdom of God, the world's definition of what is big and small that we had learned becomes nullified. Even the greatest person of this world cannot be greater than the least of the person in the kingdom of God. Therefore, in the kingdom of God, the bigness and smallness in this world has no use. The kingdom of God is a kingdom where bigness and smallness do not define a person or a life. Our church implements a nominal title system for elders and deaconesses. And what does this system have in mind? It is the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, people are not divided between being small or big based on their titles. But in the churches of this world, sometimes a title becomes a standard by which the bigness and smallness of a person's faith is judged. It is the result of the church accepting the thought of this world as it is without a question, that bigger and higher things are good, and smaller and lower things are not good. If we were to reflect on this in the light of the kingdom of God, where bigness and smallness are useless, we see how vain this is. When the system of the church aims for the kingdom of God, we can accept the title of elders or deaconesses not in terms of being high or low or big or small, but as a nominal title only and as a token of respect. It is possible that in the kingdom of God, an elder or a deacon or a person who has just come to church for the first time today are not all that different. The kingdom of God is a kingdom which is established based on values and standards that are completely different from those which are sought after by the people of this world. You remember the story about how Jesus revived the son of the widow of Nain, which we looked at 2 weeks ago. When Jesus arrived at the town, the young man who was the son of the widow was within a bier. The people run into Jesus as they head for the funeral. A bier shows clearly that an end of life is death. We place a body in a casket after cleaning it before the body becomes stiff. After we face the reality of death, while touching the pale and cold face of the dead, the casket is closed. The casket is a place where we confirm the death of the dead. At the same time, regard my future. A brilliant life will, in the same way, be carried out in a casket and be cremated or buried. How many people can withstand the feeling of emptiness that comes from understanding the vanity of life? But Jesus had compassion on the widow and places hands on the bier. Jesus puts his hand on the bier where the young man who is a son of the widow lies dead, the place where all persons who are in the funeral procession will one day come to lie in. Young man, I say to you, get up. With this one word from Jesus, the heart of the young man begins beating again. Blood circulates all over his body, and the body that had become coldly rigid begins to move. How surprised the people must have been when they saw the bier move. In the world, death is the end. Because of this, people say, we should enjoy this short life as much as we can. Even by sacrificing others, I try to enjoy this finite life as much as I can. But all the people who are carrying the bier of the young man come to witness at the place where Jesus' word is declared, how the accepted idea that death is the end is broken. before one word of Jesus, the death has disappeared, and there is only the young man who is alive again. By touching the bier with his hands and asking, Jesus has shown the kingdom of God, which was beyond their imagination. If we were the ones carrying the bier, how would we have felt? Wouldn't we doubt the belief that death is the end, something that we had never questioned? Wouldn't we have been amazed witnessing the new kingdom of God that became revealed through Jesus? The story of Town of Nine is not just about a young man who lived again. It was an event in which everyone who had joined a funeral procession came face to face with the new kingdom of God through Jesus. Many people will still say that one should enjoy life as much as one can, given the reality of death, the end point of a life. But people who met Jesus could not help but live with a different values and goal in mind. They had experienced the new kingdom of God through Jesus. The kingdom of God is a kingdom in which we have not lived in before. Therefore, it is bound to feel strange to us who have incorporated the ways of the world within us. We can only feel out what it is like and cannot say anything definitive about it. But to us, who had been bent only on running forward, Jesus showed us the new kingdom of God, which could not be imagined. At the Town of Nine, the people did not simply listen to some moral teaching by Jesus' side. They were experiencing the kingdom of God, which they could not previously picture. This Jesus died on the cross for all people on this earth and lived in 3 days after his burial. The kingdom of God was declared on this world where wars do not cease, where there is hatred and judgment, and where people even enslave one another, forgetting God. Through Jesus, who lived again in 3 days, a finite life comes to participate in eternal life. Death takes resurrection, and our reality, which fluctuates from joy to grief, is replaced with a hope for a new country. The kingdom of God, which Jesus revealed, is truly a new way of grace for us who live a life on this earth without solutions. The end of today's passage describes the reactions of people who had come to encounter the kingdom of God through Jesus. The people and the tax collectors who had received baptism from John the Baptist listened to Jesus' words and praised God as being righteous. These people who praise God are simply called the people. They were not famous persons. They were unknowns who endure their given life day by day. And they were people who collected taxes under the governance of Rome. Whether they intended or not, they were people who came to live as tax collectors in the historical situation and choices that unfolded before them. Their identity in the world was very clear. They were small people, at times cowards who had turned their backs on their country, people who had run away from God. But the words of Jesus about the kingdom of God came to them, and before these words, they praised God as being righteous. And this praise was not something that they had given before. It is a new song offered to God in amazement at the mystery of the kingdom of God that they came to see through Jesus. Although they did not know all about it, the kingdom of God, which is completely different from the world that evaluates people based on bigness and smallness, started to sprout among them. But this was not true for everybody. The text testifies that the Pharisees and the experts of the law who had not received the baptism of John rejected God's purpose for themselves. These were people who were experts on the law. They learned the law from a young age. They followed the law. And they tried to live precisely according to the law. Whether they intended it or not, where they were in life and how they grew up differed essentially from the people who came to synagogues to listen to the words once in a while. There were people who were to discover God's will in the law, teach them, and preach them. Because there were such persons, the Israelites treated them as big persons. Because the kingdom of God declared by Jesus is a kingdom for all persons, the words of Jesus are also declared to these Pharisees and the experts of the law. But the text tells us that they could not accept God's will and rejected it. It is a passage that makes us afraid. The title that I have and the knowledge that I have about God can become a wall that blocks out the kingdom of God. And we feel trepidation as to whether our faith works in that way. The passage emphasizes this to the end. The point of God's kingdom is not on my background, the circumstances, or the faith that I have lived with. Its point is on how I accept Jesus, who speaks to me as an experience in my life. Dear members, beloved of God, we live through countless experiences at the places of life and the era that have been given to us. We have experiences of happiness and joy, but there are also experiences of failures, like falling down on a running track, and experiences of despair, like death, which does not have a solution. Experiences are given in various settings of our lives, and sometimes they appear suddenly. So, at times, they become a deep trauma in our hearts, or, to the contrary, an occasion of great confidence. Considering all this, we see that experiences are often not something that we intend, but something that we must accept in our life journeys. If these experiences are all there is to our lives, and they exert tremendous influence on us, our lives would have to sway without an end amidst of experiences that we cannot predict. But the story does not end there, because Jesus came to us. And because he speaks to us. In the way he had put his hands on the bier and spoke, in the same way he spoke to those who were desperate and came to the wilderness, Jesus comes to us and speaks. These words of Jesus that is heard deep within our souls become a brand new experience for us. In the kingdom of God, which is revealed by Jesus, we encounter a new way of living and even are able to overcome the burdensome experiences that are given to us by the world. This Jesus speaks to us today too. Yes, I see what your life is like. But in the kingdom of God, the real story of our lives begins from there. Let us pray. God, at times we came before you like reeds swaying in the wind. We came before the Lord wanting a brilliant life on this earth. We asked things from you, lived our faith life, and judged others according to the experiences of this world embedded in us that judge people and life according to bigness and smallness. God, but we thank you that you have shown us that in the kingdom of God, such standards of life and our thoughts become null. We thank you that through Jesus, you have shown us the kingdom of God that does not judge people and lives based on bigness and smallness. And you have allowed us to taste eternity, which we, the finite beings, could not dream of. Allow us who believe that Jesus as our Lord experience the kingdom of God through Jesus. May such experience become the most precious experience we have over anything that is in our lives. Although the era and the history in which we are born are not likely to change and our life stations will remain the same, may our encounter with Jesus who has come to us to meet us there and the kingdom of God that we experience through the word of Jesus become the strength of our lives, the direction of our lives, and the reason for us to be living today too. God, we particularly pray that the arrogance of this era, which divides people based on bigness and smallness, will become broken by Christians who have experienced the kingdom of God. And allow us to experience a new kind of respect that treats even the smallest ones preciously. May the hurt of this age in which the North and the South are confronting each other, holding weapons of death in their hands, find a way of healing through Christians who have experienced the kingdom of God and experience true peace through which a way to live together is sought rather than death. I pray that in all our families, workplaces, schools, in our stations of life that you have made us live in, the story of kingdom of God will begin. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.